This is KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. In Uptown Port Townsend, in the town that time forgot, Aldridge's Market rests now at the corner of Lawrence and Tyler Streets. For nearly 125 years, the store has changed hands only five times through five families unrelated by birth. That is, up until now. The market has survived economies of the times and two world wars. It's the oldest grocery store in Washington State still operating under the same trade name. It was opened in 1896 by Clark Aldridge, moved its location several times, and has risen like a phoenix from the ashes of two fires. The market, perhaps, has taken on a brigadoon-like persona, and it has been a physical as well as a symbolic cultural center for the uptown neighborhood, a community gathering place. Enter siblings Yoss, Rachel, and Krista Lichtenberg. Yes, another family, with a connection to and an understanding of the Port Townsend community. They've appeared serendipitously, right at a time when Aldridge's, like a family cat, was about to lose another one of its lives. Yoss, Rachel, Krista, welcome to KPTZ's Compass.
Thank you, Chris.
It's so good to have you. And it's interesting because down in California, one of the things that I did was I learned how to tend bar by accident in Santa Cruz. That's sort of a portable skill. And I ended up working for La Costa Resort down in San Diego County and then became a union steward down there and then eventually an organizer with the Hotel and Restaurant Union. The food and beverage background is something I'm very familiar with, and we're going to touch on that as we talk, because, Yoss, I understand you started a bar when you were, what, 23?
That was a bar from, I think, 1906. That was in Auburn, California, called The Smoke Shop, and it operated under that name to the time that I purchased it, and that was in 1993. It was an old, ratty, real serious dive. And we kind of cleaned it up a little bit and then brought in live music. So something super fun to do in your 20s. I would never do it again, that's for sure.
It's a tough business.
It is.
And, you know, everything from, did you serve food?
Yeah, we tried various kind of iterations of, you know, kind of subletting some space in the place. When we took it over, it was all ages because it was ostensibly a pool hall. It was rather large, almost 4,000 square feet. So we had to serve food until we stopped letting minors in, because it kind of morphed from a pool hall into serious, kind of more of a nightclub, live music venue. A young person's game, I should say.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you can work 100 hours a week and, you know, get 4 hours of sleep.
Let's talk about this a little bit. Rachel, your background is pretty interesting, how you ended up in these parts.
Yeah, it's been such a lovely journey. Chris, your mention of your role as a steward certainly resonates. And I spent the last 30 years in many ways as a steward within the REI co-op. And, you know, we talk about our upbringing in Weed, California. Growing up, we really had a childhood in which Mount Shasta was framed. And so I had the chance to climb the mountain in my early days at 16 to the summit for the first time with my oldest brother. And that, in many ways, awakened this love of the outdoors, which after my college years, I started selling camping gear at REI that turned into a 30-year career, wrapping up my time there as the vice president of retail. And really, in many ways, that journey working for a co-op reinforced this notion of business in many ways done differently, this idea that you can actually have a multiple views of what success looks like, not just certainly business success, but societal success, that for your employee teams, and really this notion of how do you serve your membership? And so, you know, a long career thinking hard about your team and how they can create an enriching sense of community. So in many ways, what Krista Yost and I talk about is this idea of being the sixth stewards, if you will, of Aldrich's. And the interesting piece, too, around the genesis of even this contemplation of Aldrich's was as I was wrapping up at REI, I'm working on launching a purpose-based leadership and business consultancy called True North Collective. And back in February, as I was recruiting Yost to think about going on that journey, he said, what about a physical manifestation of these values? And so here we are. This is a place to play around a physical manifestation of the values of trust, the values of impact and service and joy and community and generosity. And so those were guiding this notion of what I would step to next. And now this marriage of these values and at the same time, this incredible, incredible delight of partnering with my siblings. We have wanted to do this for a long time. And honestly, when our father passed away, October of 2018, there was a palatable sense that it was imminent. Something was going to manifest that invited us in to do some beautiful work together. And here we are. It's an absolute joy.
You opened a lot of things that we need to unpack here. Not a lot, but I mean, my son worked for Patagonia for a number of years. Of course, the whole discussion about community, the whole discussion about responsibility, the whole discussion about capitalism versus social responsibility.
Yes.
Are really, really important concepts. And when you mentioned that Port Townsend is a great place to address those issues, you were right on. I want to talk to Krista a little bit here. So the three of you grew up in the Bay Area, and then it eventually ended up in Weed, which is in the shadow of Mount Shasta.
Right. And the three of us were, I was five, Rachel was four, and Yoss was two when we landed up in the mountains. I think it was very formative for all of us to be taken out of the city and put in the sticks and just, you know, being raised without a TV, just being told to go outside. And I think it helped nurture a deep creativity and a certain self-sufficiency. You know, when you just, you have the creek and you have the dirt and the trees, go find your own fun.
Well, your background, I think it is one of the reasons why you ended up in Port Townsend.
Right. Of the three of us, you know, I'm the Port Townsend scrapper here. Been here 22 years and like a lot of people that land in this community, I think you either make your way or it spits you out.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. And it, you know, it hasn't been easy, but it's been incredibly worthwhile. I think maybe my path has been less of a straight line, but certainly very meaningful despite that. I have four children. The four of them have guided my path. I just, you know, basically here and there worked part-time jobs, most of it in restaurants and retail. So in Port Townsend, in restaurants, just working part-time as a server. And then when I was 41, I went back to school and got a nursing degree. And that finds me in the ER here at Jefferson Healthcare.
I guess time is relative. It seems like a late career change, but it was certainly an amazing one.
It was just time to challenge myself with something. And yeah, it forced me to grow and I think develop my voice and my confidence.
So when you're in the ER, that's your place at the hospital. I have to take my hat off. If I had a hat, I'd take it off because that's just an amazing part of nursing to me anyway.
I like it. But I think there is this new thing that, you know, I think I'll be straddling a couple different worlds as we launch Aldrich's. You know, my greatest identification, I believe, is with my inner work, just becoming clearer every day, less identification with the ego. And I think that our family vision here is going to help animate that.
All three of you seem to me to have an interesting take on life, which is not really alien to the general lifestyle here in Port Townsend. Yas, you're the baby of the family, it seems.
That I am. That I am. Pretty stereotypical, too.
Do you have to take a lot of flack from your sisters there?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I know my place.
Yeah, okay.
Flack and love.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know. It just seems to me that there's, from the outside looking on here, there seems to be a real intimacy and closeness between the three of you. And I'm getting a vibe that your forward direction is pretty cohesive, but it is being fed by slightly different concepts of what this whole Aldridge's is going to morph into. And it's really interesting to me to hear what your plans are. And also, we talked a little bit about the serendipitous nature of how you ended up being at this place at this time when Aldridge's sort of reappeared as needing a new family.
Uh-huh. I think just so beautifully said a few things in terms of that notion of a very clear and cohesive vision and set of values. I think that that's spot on, Chris, and that you're feeling this vibe is incredibly reassuring. In terms of from the values side, it is all guided by this notion of trust. And I think the other piece that you're getting is if something is guided by trust, there can be a fluidity. We don't have to have perfection on the first day we open the doors. We can, of course, create something that we believe will serve and nourish the community. We do love this idea that people leave more nourished and with more joy than they enter. But we don't have to. If you come from this place of deep trust, we can each bring our uniqueness to support that vision and these values. And we can also trust that we're going to learn along the way. And we'll just embrace the fluidity and this notion of iterating. Anyhow, that's some of what I felt from your comments, anyhow, is that there's this great alignment at the highest level. And you might even call that almost more of a feeling than a thing. And yet there is a place for sinking in and articulating some of that high level vision and values, but leaving enough space for the community to shape what the needs are.
You know, the whole concept of KPTZ, how KPTZ got started, we still have that funky feeling of community radio and community support. And, you know, glitches and mistakes and all the rest of that stuff coming along the way, that's all part and parcel of it. And I don't think that the community would have it any other way.
That's right.
There's that understanding there, and which is a wonderful, warm feeling of acceptance and support. And it really encourages people with different backgrounds and talents to come out of the woodwork and feel free to express themselves. And I think that's really a good thing. Now, Yas, you have this food and beverage background, and Rachel, you have this retail background, and Krista, you have this free-flowing, take-a-risk and air of responsibility. I don't know. It just seems to me that there's an interesting combination here that is very promising. Yas, tell me about your vision. What do you see?
Yeah, I think we're all just completely aligned on this. You know, I mean, I guess in, you know, lack of better terms, we really just kind of see it as a gathering place. I mean, if, you know, getting into specifics, obviously there's going to be some reorientation of the store just for better flow. I think the offerings are going to be elevated greatly. We really, I mean, for the most part, we just want to have joy with this whole experience. You know, I actually worked there 22 years ago, which is pretty funny. And that was my first stint in Port Townsend, and always dreamed of coming back. And just, you know, again, to the serendipity of how all this has kind of coalesced, it's just, it's magical. So, you know, there's the hard work, the actual physical work and the mental work that goes into putting something like this together. But just, I think one thing that we always say to each other is get out of your own way. And that's really how we've been kind of rolling with this whole project, is that we're trying to stay out of our own way because this thing has just flowed in such a magical fashion. And we kind of, you know, we see what's going to happen. We know that this is going to be a joyous experience. And when you allow yourself and you open yourself up, you know, personally to allow that stuff in, and now we're just doing it on a physical scale with an actual space, that we know this whole thing is going to be incredibly magical, and we're going to do our part from a physical standpoint to make that happen in regard to what we offer and the experience and experience in the store and the cool things you'll be able to buy and the great food that we'll put out of the kitchen, Tomoko and our little coffee experience, and just some of the cool things paying homage to the past of Aldrich's, but then elevating it kind of for a new world, and then also taking, you know, I mean, the coronavirus thing for us is almost a bit of a blessing because we're able to re-envision the store with that in mind. So it's just, yeah, it's just been an absolutely magical experience, and there's just going to be a lot more magic coming too.
Well, that space itself is almost like a canvas that you can paint, yeah. And but it's also its history and how you're going to combine all of that into the experience, right? What really struck me about reading about the history of Aldrich's is not only its changes of location and all the rest of that stuff, and its resilience, either in a symbolic way or a physical way, but also the fact that at one point, I think, what was it? I can't remember, 2003 or something like that, where after the fire, people went in and salvaged the original nails and some of the Douglas fir timber in order to make sure that that transitioned into the next Aldrich's. And that struck me as being something very significant in how the town, for example, is looking at this place.
I don't think it's accidental, you know, that the locals refer to Aldrich's as the center of the universe. It's my impression that it is kind of the beating heart of this community. And, you know, it's important that this is done right, especially this year with everything being canceled. You know, I just kind of look at this latest resurrection as an important place where people can come and celebrate something just because we've lost so much.
Such a combination of a bold move with circumstances that ordinarily would be really prohibitive to go into a retail venture or food and beverage or a grocery store at this particular point in time, you know, taking that step, which leads me to my next question. When you're looking at all of this and you're looking at the opportunity that presented itself, what made you take that step? And how are you going to travel through the next period of time with Aldrich's? How is this going to manifest itself? What do you see? I'm not telling you what you're going to find out. I'm just telling you what you see. You know, what's the vision from all three of you?
Well, it's love that question, Chris, in that kind of why take the step is we do see a world in which there is this deep, deep hunger for connection. We see a humanity and a planet that we can feel it right now. There's a lot of separation and there's a lot of dis-ease, if you will. And this notion of a place that can be a profoundly positive experience at the micro level, this notion of the vision for people leave with more joy and nourishment than they enter. And at the same time, this vision to treat Aldrich's Market as the trunk of the tree so that we can in time actually create a really strong branch that becomes a benevolence branch. It's a pretty big aspirational vision that we could treat the Port Townsend community as creating a blueprint for other communities around the world to create a more joyous, humane, and sustainable world. And yes, that's kind of big, but that's, I would say, what we are being drawn to do. This feels like a calling. It does not feel like a job.
Well, Rachel, you have the credentials for expounding this philosophy, but the practicality of it all, what are we seeing here with the actual physical manifestation of what you're talking about?
Yeah, and I think it starts with running a sound marketplace that has offerings that really are compelling to folks, and they want to come in and they want to find their community and their nourishment. You know, I've talked for years around trying to take a business from being more transactional to more relational. And in being more relational, does that drive a lot of transactions? Sure. Yes, it does. You know, we have, again, the credentials, we have the experience to run a really sound business, treat people really well, create the own sense of like, the joy that the team has in doing the work. And that's where so much of the genesis of great ideas and really the delight that folks will have, you know, that kind of generative goodness, it is starting. You know, it's getting the doors open, it's listening, it's running a sound, sweet business. And then from that, we imagine playing in the space. We all have a passion for brand and that idea of how much could be tested in this lovely little test bed that could really expand beyond these four walls. There's a lot of creative goodness that will happen in that space that honestly, that profitability, if you will, in our mind becomes the virtuous sort of cycle that allows us to do the benevolence work. So we have a perspective and it does start with it running a sound business. And we've taken a look at all facets of this and we have confidence that we can deliver that.
That's your business plan. And I'm sure you've been working very hard on that. Krista, what do you see? What do you envision when you walk in the door of Aldridge's?
Well, in my nursing world, I often have to wear the charge nurse hat, which means you're just in charge of a five-ring circus all day long. It takes a lot of focus and leadership. And whenever I'm doing that, I strive to bring, despite the work, a sense of fun. You know, I always think there's room for just having fun and humor and joy. So I think that would be the first thing, is that the feeling that will be in Aldrich's, that's what we're going to be cultivating, is just a place that feels really, really good. And then beyond that, you know, a great attention to detail, that there's a sense of ownership. You know, if you're out there working, that everybody has a sense of ownership, because this is everybody's baby, and that it be run in that way. And then the bigger picture is always asking, what is this serving? And I think we have the shared mental model of Aldrich's ultimately serving something a lot bigger than our separate selves. And that's exciting.
Yas, you had this taste of running a bar and a music venue in your younger years. You're not that much older, are you?
That was 25 years ago.
Was it really?
Yeah.
With that experience that you had and your ability and your knowledge of how that business works, what are you seeing from the point of view of a community gathering place?
Yeah, we want to get the market, the ground floor right out of the gate. And I think that just the flow of that and how that space is utilized, because we have to get that right for our employees. We have to get that right for the community. Again, we're allowing ourselves a lot of fluidity in regard to how that ends up looking. But that's the first thing, where a lot of the excitement and creativity is going to come in the mezzanine space. And that's kind of going to be phase two. We'll get the market right first, and how we end up utilizing the mezzanine space. We're going to see a lot of community use up there, whether it just be donating space. We're going to be doing some reorganizing up there. We're obviously going to connect that space more. We took down the solid wall balcony that was up there. We're going to pay homage to the Port Townsend deer fence. So that's going to be see-through. We already took it down. It's an amazing change already, just in regard to the light that is coming through. The space is really connected now. So that's going to be phase two. I mean, out of the gate, obviously, in COVID world that we're living in, we're certainly not going to be encouraging gathering other than safely, but we really, really see, and, you know, we're throwing around a little idea, you know, ideas of, you know, the concept of shops within a shop, kind of a bizarre thing, maybe eventually a gathering space. You know, we can be licensed to actually have a physical bar up there as well. There's the deck up there that's just completely underutilized. We'd like to add another door to that, especially in this world. But we really, really see that as, you know, once there is a vaccine or we know things are safe, that will be a really, really cool space. It's definitely tied more into the store, just visually, but there's so much potential up there. There's almost 6,000 square feet of space that just never been realized. You know, the potential that's never been realized.
You're right. I mean, there's a whole tremendous amount of space up there that has this wonderful potential to play with. I'm seeing a delightful combination here. And we want to wish you all the best of luck in your adventure. There's not only the economic staying power that you're going to need to have over a reasonably extended period of time, but also the energy and what it takes to avoid burnout, and how creativity really keeps burnout at bay sometimes because of the vision that you have. So we wish you all the best of luck, and we want to thank you, Krista, Rachel, and Yoss, for joining us here on Compass.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Thank you.
We'll see you in Aldridge's.
Yes.
Oh, definitely. Is there anything you want to add that I might have overlooked, or any kind of comments or thoughts that are going through your head right now?
Chris, actually, one thing just popped in my head because you were talking about the history. Mm-hmm. Coincidentally enough, this is just kind of how all this stuff is flowing. Shortly after this, we're going to go meet with John and Pam Kleiss, and we're going to sit down. And I remember them from the time, you know, John was mayor. They lived upstairs when I worked at Aldrich's, and we're going to go sit on the deck that Krista's ex-husband, who's doing a lot of work for us at the store, made, and we're going to chew on Pam's ear a little bit in regard to really digging into the history. And we're also, it looks like there's most likely going to be a documentary film crew kind of following the evolution of the store.
The community is just showing up in pretty profound and generous ways. Just all ties right back to our leading sort of value around trust. You know, that trust is everything, and that allows us to stay more in this kind of open and creative flow. Almost this notion of if there is only one choice in the world, love or fear, you know, just staying more in that side of trust and love, that's certainly an invitation over and over and over again for us on this little journey of trust.
It's that delicate balance of sort of the tension between trust and fear that kind of pushes us forward, right?
Yes.
Yoss, how long did you work for Aldridge's, and how old were you?
I was 27, 28. I was there for 1 year, about 10 months, actually.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, your conversation with John, because we're just reading a little bit about the history. I think the old man was still around that during the Depression used to lend money out to the community. And I think it's something about when John took over the store, there was a write-off of all of this debt.
Oh, interesting.
I may have the story a little bit convoluted and confused.
Yeah.
I think he inherited some color. Well, it's going to be delightful to meet you guys in person.
Chris, if you see the roll-up door cracked or open anytime, if you're up in the neighborhood, just pop in.
I will.
Yeah, I'm going to be there frequently for the next 15 years, probably.
That's what I like to hear. Okay.
Yes.
All right, well, take care, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Okay.
Today's music, Scott Joplin, New Rag, played by Claude Bowling, and Ain't Misbehavin', played by Fats Waller. This is Chris Bricker for KPTZ Community Radio News.
This week's Compass was written and produced by Chris Bricker. The Compass airs Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. and repeats the following Saturday at noon. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ Live 24 hours a day. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, this is Compass Executive Producer Steve Evans.